With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When you get the cue from landfill, you know what that means. It's time to talk. You and me, 6 o'clock. You know what it happens on a Friday. Mike Florio coming up at 2:15 this afternoon. We'll talk National Football League. We'll talk, of course, Washington, Cincinnati. Oh, feel the excitement of the top two picks in the draft. Joe Burrow and Chase Young, who can actually affect the game against each other. Unlike when we say, you know, these quarterbacks that get drafted in the same draft. You know, like with Daniel Jones and Dwayne Haskins. Oh, it's Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins, 6 versus 15. No, they can't really affect the game against each other, but these two guys can and will coming up on Sunday. The question is, who will do it better than others? And when you look at this game in our starting five, of course, at number one, it's Washington and Cincinnati. We see DeShazer Everett is going to be out. That's not going to help in the secondary for Washington. Nick Sundberg and Dustin Hopkins are on the questionable list. Well, that's never good. And a field goal PAT unit that is struggling right now, that's not good when the snapper and the kicker have issues and are questions heading into the game for Washington. Now, if you are perusing this game as Tom Daly did on Grant and Danny in their picks, here's a couple of nuggets for you, courtesy of BetQL. Washington has a 52.3% chance to beat the Bengals in their algorithms, and Ron Rivera's teams have a record of 25-9 against the spread coming off of a road loss over his entire career. Now, when I say that, I sound like the late Jimmy the Greek and the late Pete Axthelm, the first guys that you used to see on the NFL Today and NBC's pregame show years ago when people first started talking about this information. And when they rambled on and on, we were like, oh, listen to this stuff. Who cares about all that? Well, guess what? Now you can't live without it. You can't live without it because there's so many more outlets now to watch and wager on athletics, whether it's professional, whether it's college. Heck, we once a couple of years ago found Little League World Series betting lines. Yes, I kid you not. We found them. They're out there. They exist. So many opportunities. Go get your information from BetQL.com. 90% of the total money so far wagered right now is backing the over 47 points in this game between Washington and Cincinnati. So we'll see if it does indeed follow that trend and go over this coming weekend. If Alex Smith can throw for over 300 yards, maybe Washington has a shot to get to the mid to upper 20s again. And obviously Cincinnati, a team. Look, T. Higgins, anybody that watched college football knew this young man when he was healthy. He's going to be a terrific wide receiver. He's really developed nicely this year for the Bengals. Tyler Boyd as well. They don't even need A.J. Green anymore on that team, to be completely honest with you, with the way these two guys have played, which made it a little more puzzling that Cincinnati. And I know Cincinnati didn't want to give away a guy that's meant a lot to their franchise and has been there, obviously, for his career. But I was a little surprised that they did not move A.J. Green at the trade deadline. Maybe nobody was offering them anything. I mean, and that's completely possible that no one was offering them anything. So we'll see how this game shapes up. We'll talk about it today. AAA Always On Call listener line at 1-800-636-1067 is always open for you. Also on the NFL, as you heard Grant and Danny talk about, and I don't understand, and I know maybe it's because he's a backup and he's been used by the Saints in so many different ways, special teams, as a receiver, as a runner, and things of that nature. Everybody outside of New Orleans up in arms that Taysom Hill is starting in place of Drew Brees this coming week. Now, he's a guy that clearly knows the New Orleans system. That's helpful in this situation. We know that. It's a guy that's actually carried the ball 34 times this year for New Orleans and only thrown a handful of passes, obviously. But it's a guy that Sean Payton trusts, clearly, to run the offense at this point. And that's all that matters. And Sean Payton, his track record speaks for itself. Now, may he be proven wrong? Yeah, sure. Absolutely possible. But this is the guy right now that Sean Payton trusts to run his offense. And certainly we should reserve judgment until we see how he plays on this level. Ironically, his middle name is Sean, just like the old Vikings University of Maryland quarterback, Sean Hill. But Taysom Hill, former quarterback at Brigham Young University, will get to start for New Orleans this coming week. Item number two in the starting five, the Golden State Warriors finalizing a deal with Kelly Oubre Jr. from the Thunder in advance of the free agent period, which gets underway at 6 o'clock tonight. We obviously have eyes on it because Tommy Shepard said Davis Bertans is obviously Washington's top priority when that gets underway. That's why Washington didn't trade him this past season when the opportunity presented itself, as they were basically saying, hey, this is our guy. We want him back. We can pay him the most money. Other teams can pay him, not quite the same, but structure a contract, maybe longer term, more total dollars. And I think that's the thing you have to look at in the NBA. You got to look at total dollars. Like, everybody's up in arms over Gordon Hayward opting out of taking $34 million from the Boston Celtics. But if he takes $34 million this year, that's fine. But what he might get somewhere else right now is more term. At the age of 30, that's important. You want more term and more total dollars. So even though it may not be 34 somewhere else, if he got, say, 3-4-75, because I don't believe anyone's going to give him $34 million in terms of annual value, but it sets him up to go get a better deal for total dollars in longer term than just coming back for another year with the Celtics at 34. And that's how you have to evaluate a lot of this NBA money. Let's look at total dollars as opposed to annual value, because just because you're turning down 1 year at 34, you may be getting 3 at 75. And in the grand scheme of things, the last time I checked, 75 greater than 34. But the Warriors, of course, with the Klay Thompson situation, with him being out for the year, they're allegedly finalizing a deal to get Kelly Oubre Jr. from the Thunder. He was just traded to the Thunder this past week. Now, of course, the Warriors are over the cap, so how will they do this? They're going to absorb Oubre into their trade exception created by Andre Iguodala and that trade last offseason. The team's luxury tax bill could rise from $66 million to $134 million as a result of the trade. Now, if we don't get butts in the seats, the amount of revenue that's coming in is limited. But this is a team that knows to compete in the West, they got to do something. And they're willing, in this case, to pay a $134 million tax bill. The $68 million bump on top of Oubre's $14.4 million salary means the team will be paying well north of $80 million for one season of Oubre between annual value and the luxury tax. And when we sit here and we try to figure out how the NBA teams have all this space and this money, the Warriors still have a $6 million mid-level exception to use, and they may also get a $9.3 million disabled player exception as a result of Thompson's injury. They plan to use that money to pursue targets and free agency as well. Tell you what, the NBAPA, you rock. Because what you do for your basketball players and how they get paid is simply amazing. Because when we look at a salary cap, we think it's a hard cap. In the NBA, it's just a bunch of nothing. Meanwhile, Penn State football coach James Franklin is in a little hot water, and this got a little disturbing, potentially disturbing subject matter. I'll keep it as light as possible, but James Franklin told a player, according to an ESPN report, apparently not to talk to police following a fight with star linebacker Micah Parsons in 2018. The accusation by now former Nittany Lions defensive end Isaiah Humphreys, or defensive back Isaiah Humphreys, contained in a draft report that was part of a 2019 Title IX inquiry into a sexual assault allegation in the Penn State locker room. Now, it's not what you think. It apparently was alleged sexual assault against Humphreys by teammates while they were in the football locker room. And, of course, now James Franklin and Penn State trying to defend themselves from that. I will let you read the full story so you can get the full details so I don't have to holler at you, because we know we have young listeners listening to the show at times, and out of respect for that. But if you go to ESPN.com, you'll see this piece of turmoil that James Franklin has to deal with, and he thought it was only bad getting beaten by Maryland. Meanwhile, if you watch college football last night, Tulsa linebacker Zavion Collins returned an interception 96 yards for a game-winning score in double overtime against Tulane. A nice finisher on a 15-tackle day. Now, here's a list of players. 10 tackles, 95 interception return yards, and an interception return for a touchdown in a game since 2005. Collins, Zacoby McClain of Auburn in 19, Reed Blankenship of Old Dominion in 18, Alvin Davis of Akron against Northwestern, he was big. 10 tackles, 2 picks, 147 yards, and 2 interception returns for a touchdown. Cornelius Arnick of Tulsa and Nick Moody of Florida State. They're the only guys that have ever done that. If you watched that game last night, it was ridiculous. It was scoreless for nearly the entire first three quarters, and then Tulsa ends up winning in overtime by a score of 28-24. And finally, number 5, get well wishes to St. John's Catholic prep football coach Daryl Hayes up in Maryland, up in Frederick. Now, why do we say this? Why would we bring this? You know how coaches always give you that, I'm going to fight for you, I'm going to be there for you, through thick or thin, win or lose, I'm going to be right here by your side. I'm not sure anybody has taken it to the lengths that Daryl Hayes did. He allegedly suffered a heart attack during his team's 53-0 loss to Concordia Prep and my man Joe Battaglia on Saturday. But despite the emergency beginning at halftime of the game, Hayes finished coaching his team and wasn't treated at a local hospital until after the game. So not only was his team not winning, they were losing 53-0. So it would have been easy to, you know, leave his team during a win. But no, they're losing 53-0, and he wouldn't leave them in this case. According to the Frederick News Post, Hayes' wife, Kelly, revealed that her husband's heart attack was caused by a blood clot in one of his arteries. The blood clot was blocking an estimated 99% of the artery and was discovered at halftime. Hayes was treated at the University of Maryland St. Joseph Medical Center in Towson after the game. The blockage was cleared. Hayes had a stent put in. He was released from the hospital on Monday. Get well soon, Daryl Hayes, and when he says he's going to fight with you, kids, he's going to fight with you. Not even a heart attack could sideline him for the second half of the 53-0 loss to Concordia. That's how we're going to get started here on a Friday. Mike Florio is next, joining us right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Primo Sports with you up until 6 o'clock tonight. 1-800-636-1067. That's how you reach us here on the AAA Always On Call listener line. As always on Friday, we get things kicked off talking with the great Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Mike, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing splendid. Look, everybody is up in arms because, unless you're the New Orleans Saints, apparently, who seem to be the only people on planet Earth that love Taysom Hill, Sean Payton is going that way on Sunday, at least at the start, as his team gets ready to play. A, why is that? And why does everybody have such a beef with Taysom Hill, the ultimate utility guy for the New Orleans Saints?
Yeah, I don't get it. I have been a Taysom Hill fan ever since I saw what he did in the playoff game against the Vikings. I thought he was the best player on the field that day for either team. They paid him a two-year contract with $16 million guaranteed. He's listed as number two on the depth chart. Next man up would be him, just like last year it was Teddy Bridgewater, and Bridgewater was number two on the depth chart. So I don't get it. I don't understand it. Let's find out what this guy has. And if he's got it, then he's in line to be the quarterback whenever Drew Brees isn't there anymore. But I think the Saints need to know what they have. And I still believe that it's not going to be all Taysom Hill. I think it's going to be Hill and Jameis Winston tomorrow. I know others are reporting to the contrary, but I think that Sean Payton probably doesn't mind the fact that it's being reported as all Taysom Hill and no Jameis Winston. I believe, based on things I've been told, that Winston will play too. We'll find out on Sunday what the truth is, but it looks like, in my view, it's going to be both guys, but we'll see.
Big showdown in the West last night, Seattle and Arizona. Obviously, Russell Wilson really didn't make the same mistakes he'd been making over the last couple of weeks. Thought some sketchy play calling late from Arizona. And obviously, there was a brutality to this game overall. It looks like one of the big ones coming out of it is Greg Olsen, going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. Thoughts on the way Seattle bounced back to beat Arizona in a big Western clash on a short week?
Well, they got balance back on their offense, and they have balance back on their team between the offense and the defense. The defense was better last night than it's been in a long time. And with Carlos Dunlap making his presence felt, Jamal Adams back and healthy. I think that they were able to contain Kyler Murray like we haven't seen him be contained in a long time. He didn't have that burst. He wasn't running as easily as we've seen in the past. There was a read option play at one point where K.J. Wright didn't take the cheese and was in position to tackle Murray for a loss. He had a play down near the goal line where we've seen him score a touchdown like that so many times this year. He got bottled up. So I think it was very good to see, from the Seahawks' perspective, balance on offense and defense and running game and passing game. And it helped to have guys healthy. I mean, that's one of the keys. They've been banged up. They haven't had good running backs available. And so they've had Russell Wilson in a position where he's had to do more. Last night he didn't have to do more, and it showed. And, you know, it's a huge win for the Seahawks because they moved to 7-3. Cardinals at 6-4, all of a sudden you look at the standings, you look at the schedule. They don't have much of a margin for error. And they got some difficult spots coming up. They got to go to New England. Then they come home to play the Rams, and they go play the Giants. And I know the Giants aren't great, but you'd rather play the Giants on the road in September than in December if you're an Arizona team. So it's going to be an interesting stretch run, and a team that a lot of people really like watching. We may not watch them play into January. We'll see if they can win enough games to get there.
One of the things you and I have talked about for multiple weeks now, and you guys are all over it at Pro Football Talk, obviously Myles Garrett now, the latest testing positive for COVID-19, and the league this week trying to ratchet up the protocols as tightly as possible. But, you know, are we indeed, Mike, heading toward, for lack of a better term, a showdown with this virus over the next few weeks with all of the situations we've seen break out across the country? The league has persevered so far this deep into the season, but I think we're heading into maybe the most difficult period with the virus we've seen all season.
Yeah, the league's primary approach to the virus has been simple, except the fact that guys are going to catch it away from the facility and mobilize to remove them and anyone who's been in close contact with them from a team in order to prevent an outbreak. And that works fine as long as you've only got one or two guys who are positive at any given time. As the numbers keep going up, and I fear that in the aftermath of Thanksgiving, where the CDC is urging Americans not to travel and not to gather in groups, I think a lot of people are going to defy that. You're going to have people traveling. You're going to have these mini super spreader events by the tens of thousands on Thanksgiving, and then everyone's going to travel home, and the numbers are going to keep going up in all of the various markets. And it's just potentially going to overpower the NFL's system for avoiding a shutdown. And unless they get a home market bubble, which the league has tried to avoid because it doesn't want to have to give the union a concession in order to do it. The players don't want to do it without some sort of consideration from the league because it is a major change to their work life when they're basically working 24 hours a day. That's the only way to avoid this, and it'll be interesting to see whether or not they agree to a home market bubble before they reach a critical mass where we lose a game, players lose game checks, and there's no way to make that game up.
Mike, two teams treading water that are heading in a critical direction here. One's going to lose again this week. Tennessee, Baltimore, a pair of 6-3s, but both seem to be taking on some water a bit. How do you see this coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, it's a huge game. And if the Ravens should lose, they turn around and go to Pittsburgh on Thanksgiving night. You could see a 7-3 team end up 7-5 in a five-day window. And for the Titans, who lost to the Colts at home, if they lose this one, then they have a trip to Indy on the back end. They could be 7-5 by the end of next weekend. And one of these two teams may not make it to the playoffs. There's a lot of good teams in both conferences, and there's only so many spots out there, and it's not going to take much to tumble out of being currently on the inside of the chase for a postseason berth. And it would be wild to see one or both of these teams not make it. There's a chance at the end of the day both won't make it. And you know what? Right now, the way they're playing, you could argue that neither deserves a spot. It's one thing to win games in September and October, but November and December is when we see teams put together a championship effort. And I always say those are wins early in the season are money in the bank, but that money gets squandered if you just can't win games late. And I don't really believe right now in either of these teams. One of them is going to end up kicking the can in a positive way for a week, but I wouldn't be surprised if both of these teams flame out.
I'll let you out on this. The top two picks in the draft play each other this week, and unlike quarterbacks taken in the same draft, Joe Burrow's on offense, Chase Young on defense. Thoughts on this game between these fine two-win teams coming up here in D.C. this week with Cincinnati and Washington?
Well, you know, the Bengals have been much better than their record would suggest this year. Joe Burrow's got that championship mentality. He refuses to lose. He's very confident in himself. And Washington just has been confounding with opportunities to try to gain ground in a horrible division. And this is pretty much it. If they can't win this one, then it's just over. Now, if they win it and then they turn around and they play Dallas on Thanksgiving, you could double your win total in a five-day span. But I think this is a sneaky, compelling game. Joe Burrow's taken a lot of hits this year. I know one thing. He won't take a hit from Chase Young this week after he has thrown the ball. I think Chase Young has finally learned that lesson after what happened in Detroit. But other than that, Joe Burrow needs to have his head on a swivel because Chase Young is going to be coming after him all game long.
Mike, as always, appreciate the time. Enjoy the football weekend.
All right. Thanks, Pete. See you, man.
You got it. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. You can follow him on Twitter at Pro Football Talk. And, of course, go to ProFootballTalk.com for all the great nuggets that he brings you throughout the week. Hear what Mike said there. And does last week make Chase Young any less aggressive in any way, in some ways, at first at the start of this game? Because I think once the game starts and you get into it, you get that mentality back. But, you know, does that make him kind of, you know, Look twice when he's closing in on the quarterback and he's into that throwing motion? Because I think I wonder, after having a big penalty like that, if that will with a young player. Because, you know, Chase doesn't want to repeat the mistake, but also being physically gifted the way he is and getting to the quarterback in the way he can. Also, when you look at the film from last week, and Grant Paulson actually had a pretty good cut of this on his Twitter feed. You know, there were many times in that game where the Detroit Lions had three, count them, three Honolulu blue shirts around Chase Young. So if he's going to command that kind of attention, the other guys have got to be able to get to the quarterback and do some things this week, because this is a bunch that at times this year, last week they were terrible against Pittsburgh, but this is a team that has put up some points at times and they can do some damage. How much will that damage be? Your chance to weigh in right now. Give us the count and the amount. Who's going to win? Can Washington finally get over this close game hump this week? And if so, how do they do it? 1-800-636-1067. AAA, always on call, listener line, open to you right now. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. Beat on Sports with you till 6 o'clock here on 106.7 The Fan. You can give us a call, 1-800-636-1067. AAA Always On Call listener line. We're powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Last night's game went under. might have surprised some of you with Seattle's defense playing as poorly as it had been the last couple of weeks. And the Cardinals could have put up more points. Cliff Kingsbury, I thought, got a little too cute with his play calling at times. And a couple of plays that Arizona had a chance to make downfield, guys didn't hang on to the ball. One time the tight end Arnold had a great opportunity at about the 20-yard line, caught it in the air, and then just got the bejeeber knocked out of him in the back, dropped the ball. Would have been a big play. Certainly would have presented points for the Cardinals, at least at that point. But I know a lot of folks were leaning over on that thing last night, and as a result of the way Seattle's defense had been playing, and surprisingly, it went under. And, of course, you go to BetQL, you can find out all the latest trends, and, of course, for pro and college for the weekend. Let's get to the phones at 1-800-636-1067. Your thoughts, count the amount. How do we get to a Washington victory this week against Cincinnati coming up on Sunday at 1 o'clock? We start with Dan in Fairfax. Dan, you're on 106.7 The Fan.
Hey, Pete. Good to talk to you again.
How are you, Dan?
Great. I just wanted to say that I think that the main thing is the defense has to come around like they did in the first game. I expect maybe like six sacks, one or two by Chase Young, interception by Kendall Fuller. And the running game is very key in this game. I think Antonio Gibson is going to do well. And Alex Smith will have a really good game with touchdowns to Scary Terry McLaurin, Cam Sims, and Logan Thomas. But, yeah, I think we're going to win. I think this is the game where we get right against the Bengals. Thanks for taking my call.
Dan, appreciate the call. And, look, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, we have seen in a get-out-of-the-hole offense that Scott Turner has had to go to, Alex Smith thrive in that, thrive in some tempo. Does Scott Turner come out with some tempo this week? Why not start the game that way? Get Alex into a rhythm. Get the offense going. Get the Bengals back on their heels a little bit here. I mean, you know, the Bengals have been better, certainly offensively, but let's not confuse the Bengals. These aren't even Marvin Lewis's Bengals. Marvin Lewis's Bengals at least made the playoffs on a fairly regular basis. This team is not. Yeah, they tied the Eagles, but they are 2-6-1. Yes, they got blasted by the Steelers last week. So confidence could be an issue with this Bengals team. So let's not give them confidence by, you know, playing passively, turning it over early in this game, giving up a big play to Joe Burrow in their offense so they can get some points on the board early in the contest. If you're Washington, if I'm Scott Turner, I got to go up-tempo here a little bit because my quarterback has shown me he can operate that very efficiently. And it's one of those things. It doesn't have to be every play. I'm not saying we got to be like, you know, Cliff Kingsbury and go tempo all the time, but you get a couple of plays, keep going. You have an incompletion or something, or a guy goes out of bounds. Okay, then yeah, we can huddle for a play, but let's have multiple plays called and let's get some tempo going here because Alex Smith has proven to you he can be very efficient in it. And there's nothing worse for a defense than having to go into what I call panic mode defensively. If the team is just going down the field on you and, you know, it hampers the way you substitute, it wears your defense down. Now, yes, I know there's an element of it, too, that wears the offensive line down and your quarterback and things of that nature. I understand that. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, you get an incompletion or something, or you get a guy runs out of bounds. Sure, you can huddle for a play just to catch your breath for a second. But let's go with some tempo because it's working. It's worked. And granted, I know a lot of times it's happened against zones and everything, and what the Bengals do defensively will predicate what Scott Turner has to call. But I believe there's opportunity here if we want to get Alex Smith going confidently again. Let's do what he has shown you he can do best. Now, look, he's not going to uncork 165, 70 yards down the field. We know that. Defense knows that. But there's been plenty of other things that he has been able to do and plenty of things that he can do offensively here in the intermediate game. And Dan also brought up a good point about the run game. You got to get the run game going early, and you got to get it going confidently. Now, Morgan Moses is going to be over at left tackle. Sharp's going to be over at right tackle. That's going to be critical to watch here. And see how it works out. That's going to tell you everything. It's going to tell Scott Turner everything. But even when you had to go to Sharp last week at right tackle and Moses at left, they moved the ball down the field. They got the ball down the field. So, you know, if I'm Scott Turner, I come out with some tempo on Sunday. Let's do it right away. Don't wait to be in a 17-point hole before you do it. Let's go with it right away. It works. And it has worked. It's worked for this quarterback multiple times now. And he's a guy that you trust not to make the gargantuan mistake. Last week he didn't do that. And you're hoping he can do that again. Playing more, starting more, getting all the reps in practice after having not played for 2 years. You're seeing a difference here. You're seeing a progression. Hey, there's that word. We've wanted to see progression. We've wanted to see people get better. We've seen a progression at the quarterback. We've seen a progression at the wide receiver position. Heck, in a way, we've seen progression on the offensive line. The offensive line performing right now better in many facets of the game than they did in weeks 2, 3, 4. So we're even seeing a progression there. So let's do what they're showing you they do best. Let's come out. Let's be exciting early in the game. And you know what? Tempo doesn't mean passing every play. Tempo can run. You can run with tempo. You know, you've already shown the propensity to alternate Gibson, McKissick, Barber even to an extent. So you can do that. You can do that and run effectively early in the game. But get the defense back on their heels. Don't let them settle in and have an opportunity they know to come after your quarterback when you're already down a couple of touchdowns. Let's deliver that first blow. Let's take it to the Bengals right away in this game. Because as I said, if you let them linger around, you know, not only with Joe Mixon, but Samaje Perine, yes, who was incredibly productive at Oklahoma and was not productive in Washington. He has been productive as the second back there in Cincinnati. So the Bengals have some people that can run the football and be effective. And how Washington stops that run is going to be important, because if they don't and they're running the ball effectively and then Burrow can sit back there and pick out Mr. Higgins, Mr. Boyd, and pick you apart in your secondary with no DeShays or Everett in the back, you know, I mean, that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt. It's going to be more important that when Jack Del Rio blitzes, you get home, get Burrow off his spots, because he's a guy that if you make a mistake in coverage, he's going to beat you every single time. He's that good as a young quarterback with the weapons that they have developed. Now, granted, it's a Bengals team that's still got a long way to go, but it's still a Bengals team that can be very effective offensively. And while Washington's defense has not executed at the rate of a team like the Steelers, who, you know, really hammered on the Bengals last week, you know, Washington's front group is not bad. They got to go get the quarterback this week and make him very uncomfortable. We'll continue with your thoughts. How does Washington get the victory this week? And in your mind, can they win? Can they win? They've shown us that they're good enough to fall way behind and come back and make things interesting. But how can they make the Bengals nervous in this game? Or can they? Or can they, in your mind? Call us now on the AAA Always On Call listener line, 1-800-636-1067. That's how you reach us here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
It's Football Friday on 106.7 The Fan, presented by Wise Markets.
Now, in terms of the...
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Off the beaten path Oreos outside of the regular ones. I've grown tired of a lot of their attempts at whatever these other ones are, but chocolate peanut butter pie, oh my. That one was as good an alternate Oreo as I have ever had. So today I'm just kind of resorting to boring brown sugar and cinnamon Pop-Tarts. It is what it is. But you got to snack on something. And I will be taking care of my cookie collection coming up tomorrow. How do we get the cookies to taste good for Washington this weekend? Yeah, we look at the final end result of both Giants games and the Lions game, and we go, ooh, there was a chance late in the game. But is it more fool's gold than anything because we have seen a team that got it cranked up after they dug a big hole? Or is this truly what this team is capable of as we continue to see more from Alex Smith? So we've got a signal caller who's confident, shows confidence in the huddle. Everybody else is confident around him. But at the same time, they've gotten going after being in a hole. After the first half, they've been in a situation where they couldn't finish drives. Mistakes have derailed them. And for the most part, they have played better and more mistake-free. Not totally mistake-free, but more mistake-free in the second half of some of these games after they've fallen behind. So are the end results fooling us a little bit? Is it making us think that they're closer to a three-win team than they are a one-win team? Because when they played Dallas, Dallas was a shell of an NFL team. If you didn't win the Dallas game, then you should pack it up. Pack it up. So you had to win that game because Dallas didn't even really represent an NFL lineup at that time. Yeah, they had a couple people out there on defense, a couple people on offense. But, I mean, look, they were – if you didn't beat them, then there was going to be serious cause for concern. So now you start to play teams. Look, this is a Bengals team that you know they got guys on offense that are trying really hard here, that are trying to blend things together. The skill sets are not bad on the offensive side for that Cincinnati team. So you could conceivably, if you play the same way, lackadaisical as a unit on defense, not every guy has been, but as a group of 11, if you don't play very well, this is a Cincinnati team that can open up the exact same hole that everybody else has on you. How do you stop? How do you keep that from happening? Because if that happens again, well, one of these games, your luck is going to run out in terms of coming back and making some drama and things of that nature. You're not going to do that every time. You know, some teams are actually going to stay aggressive against you instead of passive against you and cause you to get blown out when you fall behind 17-3 early. All of a sudden, that's going to be a 24-3 or a 31-10 type game. And then we go, oh. And we go back to the drawing board. So some of this gold we feel like we're discovering. You know, like on, you know, Alaska Gold Rush. Love that show. You know, we're sprinkling some dirt. You know, we've got the crane, you know, we got the big crane handle digging down in the dirt. Oh, we found Cam Sims. Hey, welcome back, Cam. Guy that's been on and off the practice squad several times here in Washington. Look. We're discovering Isaiah Wright. Even though he dropped a punt against the Giants that put them in a terrible spot. But otherwise, he's been pretty good. He's been pretty good. Everybody makes mistakes. We all do. None of us are perfect. But, you know, so as we continue to swing that crane arm around and dig for more tasty morsels, you know, we know Kendall Fuller's our top corner. He finally got, for the first time really this year, he got dinged a little bit last week by Detroit. He looked human after really playing incredibly elite-level football most of the season so far. So there are some pieces that have been discovered, but there's a long way to go. There's a long way to go for this team. And playing competitively with another 2-6, in this case 2-6-1 team, you know, you got to get on top. You got to stay in this game from the beginning. Let's not open up that hole. How do they do that in your mind? How do they get on top in this game? And do you agree with me that they need to go with a little bit more tempo and some urgency. Create that sense of urgency early in the game, even if it is somewhat artificial. If you're Scott Turner, create some of that urgency early in the game. Get Cincinnati back on its heels. Let's see if you can do that. Let's see if you can get on top. To me, that's the next progression. Don't fall in a 17-point hole. Okay? We're finding some people that can play a little bit. Alex has given you some stability, at least at the quarterback spot, for a couple of weeks here. We've discovered some more playmakers. Let's continue the progression. Let's not fall in a 17-point hole. That would be fantastic this week. Don't do that. You know, I mean, many around the league think you're a one-point favorite in this game. Play like a favorite. Dictate to Cincinnati. Don't let them dictate to you as the teams have done here the last few weeks. You do the dictating. You know? Make your team be the one that has the little court stenographer over there taking all the notes and everything. You do the dictating. Don't be, you know, put in a situation of panic by the Bengals this week. How do we do that? How does that happen? And is this team capable of that in your mind? 1-800-636-1067. That's how you reach us here on the AAA Always On Call listener line. J.P. Finley joins us at 4. We'll get an update on the injuries, who's out, who's questionable, as they get set for the Bengals coming up on Sunday. Two-thirds of your field goal PAT team are questionable.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.